Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
Mothers of the Believers, Lives of the Wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Imam Suhaib Webb.
12 years into their marriage, changes begin to appear in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she relates in the first chapter found in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari. She says, أول ما بدأ به الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الرؤيا الصادقة في النوم. She says, the first thing which started from the revelation which was being sent to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم were the true dreams. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم started to experience dreams which would, subhanAllah, come true in his life. The other thing that began to happen in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha, our mother, mentions, ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَاءِ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started to desire seclusion. And we know that he would go to the cave of Hira, and there he would seclude himself from the world. And we'll talk about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in that cave during those times. Ibn Hisham, he narrates also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced something very, very different and very, very interesting. That he alayhi salatu wasalam would be walking through the streets of Mecca and there would be no one around him. And he would see no one and suddenly he would hear, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would turn around and he would see no one. Ibn Hisham, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked to his left, he looked to his right, and he was unable to see anything. And we know now, subhanallah, that those were the trees and the stones sending the salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Toward the 15th year of the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the love of seclusion became extremely intense. And the ulama said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would go a month at a time. Our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid, she says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he would go into this cave, and there the ulama, they said, فَيَتَحَنَّثْ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to, what they say, يَتَحَنَّثْ. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he said in Fathul Bari, يَتَحَنَّثْ معنى يَتَحَنَّفْ فَيَتَحَنَّفْ. And يَتَحَنَّفْ means that the Prophet ﷺ would do the rituals that had been passed down from Ibrahim to the people of the Quraysh. Whatever rituals were left of monotheism, Rasulullah ﷺ, he was doing those in that, subhanAllah, that blessed place, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best he could, according to the rituals of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates to us the hadith where the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began being sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned earlier, she says, radiallahu anha, awwadama, the first thing which was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the revelation was al-ru'ya al-sadiqa fi al-nawm. فكان لا يرى رؤيا إلا جاءت مثل فلق الصبح. Subhanallah, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first things which he experienced from revelation were the true dreams, and that these dreams would come true like the morning dawn. That's how clear they were. ثم حبب إليه الخلاء, and that then the love of seclusion was put in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to seclude himself in the cave of Hira. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would take provisions and he would stay there later on for even a month at a time, and then he would come back and take more provisions from his wife radiallahu anha, our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid. The ulama said during these times Khadija bint Khuwaylid was very supportive of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And something interesting, brother, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go to the cave of Hira, and sometimes, subhanallah, Khadija bint Khuwaylid would climb the mountain and look for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays, subhanAllah, brother, if you go somewhere with your friends and your wife calls you on your celly to ask you how you're doing, don't get mad, because she's following the sunnah of our mother Khadija, checking up on her husband. making sure, subhanAllah, that everything is steady for her husband. So Khadija bin Khuwaylid, she would go sometimes, and sometimes she would send her servants to look after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha says that the intensity of these seclusions increased until finally, in the 15th year of the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid, the curtains of revelation were opened and the mantle of prophethood was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet says that he was in the cave of Hira, as related by Imam al-Bukhari, and suddenly an angel came to him and said to him, Iqra, read. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ma ana biqari, I cannot read. The angel said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Iqra. The Prophet said, Ma ana biqari. Then the Prophet says that this angel, فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنَ الْجَهْدِ, that after I would say I cannot read, this angel would grab me and squeeze me until all my energy was out of my body. So the first time, اقرأ, قال ما أنا بقاري. The second time, the angel said, اقرأ. The Prophet said, ما أنا بقاري. And again, grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and squeezed him and released him. The third time, again coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying, اقرأ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ما أنا بقاري. I cannot read. فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَتَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنَ الْجَهْدِ. Then this angel grabbed me and squeezed me until I felt all my energy was going to go out of my body. And the ulama said, هَكَذَا الْعِلْمِ, that this is the way of knowledge, because now the Prophet والسلام, he's getting ready to receive the Qur'an, and knowledge, it requires hard work and effort. So the Prophet والسلام, was tired being squeezed. Then the angel released him, and then subhanAllah, the light shined forth on the world, which would be responsible for guiding so many people, from Malcolm X to Yusuf Islam to Tariq Abdul Wahid to so many people. The light now began to shine. The angel said to the Prophet,
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
الله سبحانه وتعالى sent the Qur'an to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha says, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received this revelation, he ran from the cave of Hira, and she says, as related by Imam al-Bukhari, that the chest of the Prophet was shaken. Subhanallah, where is the da'iyah to go in hard times? Where will the man run to when he faces difficulties? Where will the man go in times of hardship? What was the first place the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he went to? To our mother, Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. Because brothers, behind every good man is a good woman, and sisters, behind every good woman is a good man. That's why it's important, if your husband or your brother is involved in the da'wah, or your father, they need your support. If your wife or your sister is involved in the da'wah, brother, you have to support them, man. If your children are involved in the da'wah, you have to support them. Where is the first place the Prophet he went to? To his wife. And he came to Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, and he said to her what? لَقَدَ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. He said to her, I think I lost my mind. Subhanallah. What was the response of our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What great words came from this magnificent woman, which got the back of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She said, "Kalla, abshir, fa wallahi la yuhzika Allahu abadan." She said, no, have good tidings. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never, ever, ever, ever cause distress to you. Subhanallah. Look at the support of this woman for the husband involved in the da'wah. And then what came back to help the Prophet, brothers, is his good character. You know, your bad character can come back to haunt you, and your good character can come back to help you. If a husband is hard on his wife and mean to his wife, one day when he needs her, his bad character is going to come back to haunt him. The same with the brother who exercises this good character. And when we mean good character, we mean having the good character with Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then that good character is going to get you back. What did she say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Kalla abshir, fa wallahi la yuhzika Allahu abadan, innaka la tasir rahim. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever cause you distress. Have good news. Wallahi, Allah will never leave you. Why? Because you keep your family ties. And you are truthful in speech. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَيْلِ. And you carry the burdens of the weak. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you are good to your guest and generous to your guest. وَتَعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And you help anyone that you find is on the truth, you assist him. SubhanAllah, the good character of the Prophet ﷺ is coming back to help him. Brother, in your marriage, you got to be good to your wife so that your good character can come back and support you. Just as the Prophet ﷺ, his good character is going to come back and support him. Khadija bin Khuwaylid, she was very intelligent, and immediately she decided to go to Waraqa ibn Nawfal, her cousin. And she came to him and she informed him about what the Prophet ﷺ experienced. And she brought the Prophet ﷺ to him. And we know that Waraqa ibn Nawfal, he was the most learned man in Mecca. We take an important lesson here, that for a young couple to survive, you have to refer your affairs to sound knowledge. You have to go back to the people of knowledge to make sure that what you're doing, and even old couples, is according to the correct understanding of the people of knowledge. She came to Waraqa ibn Nawfal and she told him about what the Prophet ﷺ saw. And we know that Waraqa ibn Nawfal wa kana shaykh kabiran. He was an old man, wa qad amiya, and he was blind. And she said to him, to Waraqa, listen to the Prophet ﷺ. فأخبره رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بما رأى فقال ورقة هذا الناموس الذي أنزل الله على موسى. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he told ورقة ibn Nawfal what he saw. And the response of ورقة was very, very beautiful. He said, Wallahi, this is the same angel that was sent to Musa عليه السلام. And then Waraqa, he said something very interesting. He said, Laytani kuntu jada'an. Look at the first thing he said, young brothers and sisters. You out there rolling in your car right now. You listen to this on your computer. Listen to it on your Walkman at your university, at your school. Man, you're young, man. Look how young you are. What are you going to do for this deen, man? Look at Waraqa ibn Nawfal. What's the first thing this 80-year-old man, he says to the Prophet? Laytani kuntu jada'an, ma'na laytani kuntu shababan. I wish I was young again. I wish I was young like you, brother, listen to this right now. Like you, sister, listen to this right now. Ya laytani kuntu jada'an. I wish I was young. Why? Because it's the young people that always got the back of the truth. So why are you sleeping, man? What are you waiting on? Waraq ibn Nawfal, he said, Ya laytani kuntu jada'an. I wish I was young again. Then he said, Ya laytani, I wish I could help you when your people are going to kick you out. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Awa mukhrijiyahum? Are they going to kick me out? Waraqa ibn Nawfal, he said to the Prophet, Yes, no man brought what you brought illa udi, except he faced enemies. See, you can be young and it can be all about lip service to Islam. But if you really practice Islam, you're not going to be popular at school. If you really practice Islam, you might be popular in some ways, but you're not going to be in the in crowd. You can practice Islam wishy-washy as a young person, but you're not going to get that same test as those brothers and sisters who are trying to get down with this deen. Because anyone who tries to practice the truth, أَوَ مُخْرِجِيَهُمْ قَالَ نَعْمُ, they're going to face challenges. This is the road. This is the road that we are on now. The road of challenges. Especially after 9/11. It's not easy to stand up and say you're a Muslim. Today, I was driving in front of a Muslim doctor's office and all of their names said M period, M period, M period, then the last name. You know why? They're scared to put the name Muhammad on their sign. So here, Waraka is telling the Prophet ﷺ, Ya laytani kuntu jada'an, I wish I was young again so I could get you back. Then the Prophet said, are they going to kick me out? Why? Because you got to realize that the Prophet and Khadija, they were the most popular couple in Mecca. Yeah, popularity. We all know about trying to be popular. And the ulama said that one of the signs of the amrad al-qulub, one of the signs of the sick heart is what? You worrying about what everyone think about you and not worrying about what Allah thinks. I'm not going to be popular if I grow a beard at school. I'm not going to be popular if I wear hijab at school. I'm not going to be popular if I don't go to this party. I'm not going to be popular if I don't go and dance with the student senate and do the rump shaker, even though I'm a Muslim woman. You need to get out of here. Have some dignity about yourself. Look at Waraq ibn Nawfal. And that's why the ulama, they say Waraq ibn Nawfal radiyallahu anhu, because we consider Waraq ibn Nawfal as a sahabi. Why? Because right here, he affirms his belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After this experience with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Waraqa, the revelation stopped for some time, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he became depressed. And many ulama said that it was a long period of time. However, this is the weak opinion. The strong opinion is that it lasted for about, 2 weeks or so, maybe even 2 or 3 days. Wallahu alam. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would go to the mountains, and there he'd be very depressed. And he would see the angel Jibreel sitting on a chair between the heavens. And he would say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Muhammad, ana Jibreel wa anta Rasulullah. O Muhammad, I am the angel Gabriel and you are the messenger of Allah. This happened around 3 times. And finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw the angel Gabriel sitting on this chair. And he says in the hadith, I looked everywhere, and the only thing I could see was this angel. Ya Muhammad, ana Jibreel, wa anta Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fell to the ground out of fear. Eventually he got up, and he ran where again, brothers and sisters? To his wife, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, our mother, radiyallahu anha. And he came to our mother, and what did he say? Zammiluni, zammiluni, zammiluni. Cover me, cover me, cover me. And she covered her husband, taking care of her husband. And the ulama, they made a very nice point here. They said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home, she didn't run up to him and say, what happened, baby? Are you okay? She was quiet. It's very important, sisters, that you do this with your husband. Brothers, it's very important that you practice this with your wives or your children. That when you see somebody upset, don't run up on them. Are you all right? Be quiet. She was quiet. She got the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was quiet and she covered him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sultan Mudathir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa'anzir. وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فاهجر ولا تمنن تستكثر ولربك فاصبر.
Oh, you covered up like many Muslims now. Covered up, hiding their identities, changing their name from Muhammad to Mo Dog, from Fatima to Phalo. Oh, you covered up. Right now, you listen, that's covered up. What's the advice of Allah to the Prophet? Stand and warn the people. Look around you, man. Look at the people in America, how lost they are. Warn the people. Remind them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qum fa'andir ya Muhammad. Stand and warn the people. And do what? وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Magnify Allah. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّهِرْ. And purify yourself. And Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he said, thiyab, according to the Arabic language, means the qulub, the heart. Purify your heart. Purify your body, purify your heart. وَالرُّجِزَ فَهْجُرْ. And leave idols. وَلَا تَمْنُونَ تَسْتَكْثِرْ. And don't be counting the good that you did. Oh, I did this. Oh, I did that. Oh, I did this. We had an MSA banquet. Oh, I'm that. Shut up and be humble. And what's the last thing? وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. And be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this came Surah Al-Muzammil. And after this came Surah Al-Duha. And from that point on, as Ibn Abbas, he says that the Quran came at a steady pace until the death of Al-Habib alayhi salatu salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this very, very traumatic experience, he turned to his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid, according to some historians, and he said to her, "You are the first person that I'm calling to this faith. You are the first person that I'm calling to this faith." Listen to her answer, sisters. Listen to the answers of your mother. Listen to the answer of your mother. And compare this woman to all of these shayateen, like Britney Spears and Christina and all of these nonsense people. Listen to the answer of Khadija. And now you compare the character of Khadija to these people. These people are nothing compared to your mother Khadija. What did she say? When the Prophet said to her, "You're the first one that I'm calling to this message." What did she say? "And I'm the first to accept." La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Look at our mother radiallahu anha. "I'm the first to accept." When your husband comes home and says that Islam says we should do this, don't say, "Well, you know, say "I'm the first to accept." Brothers, when your wife tells you, and it's based on sound knowledge in both cases, that this is what Islam says to do, your response should be what? "Sami'na wa ta'na." "I'm the first to accept." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his wife the da'wah. And the ulama, they said, subhanAllah, after this, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid, that the days of rest have left us. No more time for chilling. No more time for relaxing. No more time for taking a vacation. I remember, subhanAllah, one time these brothers from Jama'at Tabligh, they came to the masjid that I used to be in. And I said to the brother, "Man, you guys need to rest." And the brother said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, "We're going to rest in the grave. It's not the place of rest." Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, the Prophet told her that the days of rest are over with. From that point on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began the da'wah. The da'wah that was so blessed that it started from the hand of the Prophet, then to his wife Khadija bin Khuwaylid, that now even you and me, we're Muslim. This is the barakah of this da'wah, the barakah of this first family. The Prophet and Khadija radiallahu anha, the first family of Islam. From this noble house, the light of Islam shined all the way from Mecca to Kuala Lumpur, from Mecca to Egypt, from Mecca to the Sudan, from Mecca to Morocco, from Mecca to Birmingham, England, from Mecca to Glasgow, from Mecca to Brooklyn, from Mecca to Florida, from Mecca to Texas, all over the world. And it started with the first family of faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and your mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. Immediately the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began to give da'wah. And we know that Khadija bint Khuwaylid was the first to accept Islam. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib, then Zayd ibn Haritha, and then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And many times we hear the people say, was it Ali first or Abu Bakr or Zayd? Was it Abu Bakr, then Ali, then Zayd, and so on and so forth. Really, I appreciate the balanced answer of Ibn Kathir. He said, actually, Khadija was the first to accept Islam. Abu Bakr was the first to accept Islam. Ali was the first to accept Islam. And Zayd was the first to accept Islam. Maybe you're saying how? Khadija was the first woman. Abu Bakr was the first free adult male. Ali was the first young boy to accept Islam. And Zayd ibn Haritha was the first slave to accept Islam. Subhanallah. So alhamdulillah, all of them were the first, inshallah ta'ala, to accept Islam. We know that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the da'wah, Abu Bakr got busy, man. Like our new Muslim brothers and sisters, when you learn about Islam and you accept Islam, it's not time to chill and watch Monday night football, man. It's time for you to get busy, to learn this deen and start to call the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in one day, he brought 6 people from the 10 people promised paradise into Islam. Az-Zubair ibn Awam, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, and other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one day, man, 6 people from the Ashara Mubashirin were brought into Islam by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So these were the early days. And what happened with our mother, Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha? First of all, Jibreel, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he taught him how to make wudu. Secondly, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and taught him how to pray. Immediately, subhanAllah, after the Prophet learned how to make wudu and he learned how to pray, who was the first person that he went and taught, brothers? His wife. And that's why Sheikh Abdul Karim Zaidan, he said in his book Al-Mustafada min Qasas Al-Quran, he said from these lessons in the early days of Islam, that after the Prophet was told to stand and warn, the first person he brought into Islam was his wife. After the Prophet learned how to make wudu and salah, the first person he taught was his wife. In fact, the ulama say, guess what, sisters? The first person to ever pray in jama'ah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was our mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. So the ulama said, brothers, whenever you learn something, the first person that you need to teach it to is your wife. Sisters, when you learn something, the first person that you need to teach it to is your husbands. So in the early days, the salah was started, wudu was taught to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that in those days salah was twice a day, as mentioned in Surah Al-Qaf. And we know that Salatul Qiyam, praying the Tahajjud, was made an obligation upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions in those days in Mecca. The other thing which Khadija radiallahu anha experienced in Mecca were the trials and the tribulations, the tests and the struggle, the difficulties. Because after the 4th year of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission, we know that the da'wah was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be in the open. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنذِرْ عَشْرَتِكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your nearest of kin. Imam Ahmad, he says that when this verse came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went up as-safa and immediately he started calling his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Abu Lahab, he started to chastise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that point on, until the migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam to Medina, terror was wreaked on the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some examples of this is Abu Jahl. If he found out that anyone was a Muslim and they had a business, he would run up on them and he would say to them, you have deserted the faith of your father who was a better man than you. We will disregard any good opinion we may have or that you may have. We will oppose your views and treat you with contempt. If they refuse to leave their faith, then Abu Jahl would instigate an embargo on the business of these people and the businesses would go downhill. If a person was weak, like for example Bilal radiallahu anhu or Ammar radiallahu anhuma, then they would be subjected to physical torment and physical punishment. Khabbab, he was a slave sold to Khuza'a, and the unbelievers experimented on him, kicked him, burned him in fire, flogged him, stripped him, tortured him, and carried him over burning coals. Abu Fukaya, the slave of Umayyah. Umayyah used to come to him and show him an idol and say, Hada Rabbuk, this is your Lord. And he would say, Allah, Rabbi Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Lord and your Lord and the Lord of this creature. And they would almost kill him, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was offered deal after deal by these people to compromise the slightest letter of the truth, and he refused sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first madrasa was opened in the history of our deen, and this was at, of course, Dar al-Arqam, the home of Arqam ibn Arqam radiyallahu anhu, who was from the tribe of Makhzum, which is, by the way, the tribe of Abu Jahl. Insults, abuses, curses, people saying that the Prophet was this and that and this and that. I mean, imagine as a sister, man, if you went to the masjid and people were saying, your husband is a madman, your husband is a fortune teller, your husband is crazy. وَمَا بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ وَمَا بِقَوْلِ قَاهٍ مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجَنُونَ. They were saying the Prophet is crazy, he's a poet, he's a magician. Imagine your Khadija used to be the most popular woman in Mecca, and now you're the lowest of the low. Imagine you are Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were the most popular man in Mecca, and now everybody's turning against you, just like you at school, just like you in college. If you practice this deen, you might have to lose some of that popularity in the dunya, but you exchange it for the popularity in the hereafter. We know that the migration to Ethiopia took place while Khadija bin Khuwailid was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that in the sixth year after the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two gifts were given to the nation of the Prophet, and that was Umar and Hamza accepting the faith of Islam. Eventually, the Quraysh became so frustrated with the message of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam that they decided to put a complete embargo upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and they put them in a place called the Shib of Abi Talib. The Shib of Abi Talib. And there the Muslims faced a complete boycott. And the historians say that you could hear the Muslim children screaming because of their hunger. That some of the companions, as related by some of our scholars of history, suffered such torment that they had to eat grass. They had no food to eat. If you want to know how difficult it was in that place, go to the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and go to the chapter, The Virtues of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, one of the 10 promised paradise. And Sa'd, he says that one day, and this was when the Muslims were in this complete embargo by the Quraysh, he says, one day I went out to use the restroom, and I went to the area of the desert to use the restroom in private. And as I was urinating, I heard my urine hit something that was a crackling sound. He says that I looked down and I realized that this was the skin of a camel. He says, I took it home, I cleaned it, I boiled it, and that was my dinner, man. Subhanallah, so that you and I can be Muslims, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu anhu, ate the skin of an animal that he urinated on, man. And here you and I are rolling around in our clean Mustangs, in our pimping Porsche, and our fat Audis, chilling with our homegirls and our homeboys and our fat cribs, and we forget the great struggle that people went through for us to be Muslims. Radiyallahu anhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them. Khadija bin Khuwailid lived through this, man, from being the most popular to being the most hated by her people. And in the 10th year of the prophethood, in the month of Rajab, Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he fell ill and passed away 6 months after leaving the confinements of the embargo. Abu Talib, it is said in other narrations, he breathed his last in the month of Ramadan, 3 days prior to the death of someone else. And that was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, our mother Khadija bin Khuwailid radiyallahu anha. Most of the scholars said she died 2 months after Abu Talib. And we know that that year was known as the year of Hazan, the year of sadness. Many scholars said it was the year of sadness because the Prophet ﷺ lost Abu Talib and Khadija. But other ulama say that it was known as the year of sadness because with the loss of Abu Talib and the loss of our mother, Khadija bin Khuwailid, the da'wah slowed down. The da'wah ceased. And when the da'wah stops, this is sadness, man. And that's why some ulama, they said that it is called the year of sadness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid, who served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. As Allah says in Surah Tawbah that He purchased the lives of the believers. Indeed, Khadija bin Khuwaylid, sisters, the main lesson we can take from her life is sacrifice. She gave up everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She gave up fame. She gave up riches. She gave up being the most beautiful woman and the most admired woman to being the one who was, subhanallah, most hated by her people. And her life exemplifies a verse we find in the 6th chapter of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The verse says, say indeed, my prayers, my sacrifice, and my life and my death are for Allah, the Lord of everything. Subhanallah, this is the life of Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Some of the virtues of our mother Khadija bint Khuwaylid, before we finish, some of the beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about her. First, the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا مَرْيَمْ وَخَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا خَدِيجَةُ بِنْت خُوَيْلِدْ. The Prophet said that the best woman of her time was Maryam, and the best woman of her time or her ummah was Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, and this is related by Imam Muslim. Another very beautiful hadith is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we mentioned earlier. When Jibreel was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَذِهِ خَدِيجَةِ. And he said to the Prophet, this is Khadija coming to you. And she's coming to you with some type of soup or food item. And he says, when she comes to you, give her salams from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنِّي, and from Jibreel, وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لا سخب فيه ولا نصب, and give her the good news of a home in paradise made of pearls, where there will be nothing in it to tire her or no loud noises to bother her. Ibn Hajar, he said, Subhanallah, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Khadija bint Khuwaylid a place in paradise where no loud voices will be heard or anything will happen to tire her? Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called her to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she didn't do anything which caused the Prophet to be tired, nor did she say anything which would disturb the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الْإِحْسَانِ, that excellence only brings about excellence. In another narration of the same hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this salam to Khadija from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from Jibreel, our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, she said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ السَّلَامُ وعلى جبريل السلام وعليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحان الله. She said that indeed Allah is peace, and upon Jibreel is peace, and upon you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, O Messenger of Allah, is peace, the mercy of Allah, and the blessing of Allah. The ulama said, and this part of the hadith is related by An-Nasa'i, they said, Subhanallah, how come Khadija, she didn't respond to the Prophet and say, to Allah is salam. They said she didn't say to Allah is salam because this illustrated the great understanding of Islam that Khadija bin Khuwaylid had. That she knows that Allah is the source of peace. So how can you say peace to the source of peace? That's why after our salah we say, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. O our Lord, you are salam. O Allah, you are salam. And from you is salam. So subhanAllah, Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, as the ulama said, that this is a dalil ala the fiqh of Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. The next hadith that we want to discuss, which shows the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for Khadija bin Khuwaylid, is the hadith which is an authentic hadith, the hadith of Hala. Hala was the sister of Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, and alhamdulillah, bifadlillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hala accepted Islam. And in Medina, she used to come and visit the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anha. And one day Hala, she was coming to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was saying, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. Aisha radiallahu anha says that the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed. Why? Because when he heard the voice of Hala, it resembled that of Khadija bin Khuwaylid, his first love, radiallahu anha. And he was affected by it. And the Prophet started to say, Allahumma Hala, Allahumma Hala, Allahumma Hala, oh Allah Hala, oh Allah Hala, oh Allah Hala. Aisha says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not one day would go by that he would not mention the great qualities of Khadija bin Khuwaylid. She said, subhanAllah, that any time we had meat in our home, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would send this meat to the friends of Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. And Aisha, as we said earlier, she said, ما غيرت على أحد من أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما غيرت على خديجة بن خويلد. As she said earlier, I was not jealous with any of the wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام like I was with Khadija. And one day Aisha, she lost control. And she said to the Prophet, the meaning of is like, don't you have anyone else to love besides this old woman? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he turned to Aisha and he said, آمنت بي إذ كفر بي الناس. He said, she believed in me when the people disbelieved in me. He said, وصدقتني إذ كذبني الناس. And she believed in me and she verified the truth of my message when other people rejected me. And he says, she supported me with her property إذ حرمني الناس, when the other people would refuse to help me and assist me in this call. ورزقني الله ولدها إذ حرمني أولاد النساء. And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me children by her when no other women gave me children. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with our mother Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. Jazakallahu khayran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Simtek Islamic CDs, South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer. Phone 031-208-3424 or fax 031-208-5125 or 082-500-9111. Email simtek@icon.co.za, 62 Sheringham Road, Overport, Durban, South Africa. Simtek Islamic CDs, South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer.
Please proceed to the next CD.